This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
Nigeria has filed a tax evasion charges against Binance. It is also looking at obtaining an arrest warrant for the cryptocurrency group's regional manager for Africa. Nadim Anja Arwala fled custody following his detention in connection with a criminal investigation into the group's activities in Nigeria. Anja Arwala is a British Kenyan for Monsis. We are now joined on the line by our correspondent in Nigeria, Jonathan James Lamgong. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. Take us back a bit. Exactly what is going on with Binance in Nigeria?
I mean, what many have described to be unfolding as a tale out of a movie is the summary of what exactly we see unfolding. However, you will recall that some days ago, two executives of Binance were invited to Nigeria. Well, Binance had an invitation to come over and answer to certain questions that the Nigerian government had in respect to certain allegations that the respective financial monitoring institutions had raised with respect to two primary things. One was related to round tripping of the and subverting of the nation's currency, the Naira. There were accusations saying that Binance was guilty of significantly undermining the Nigerian national currency, the Naira, and doing that in conjunction with faceless persons. Also, there were allegations that some of those faceless persons following investigations had shoddy dealings and had connections with respect to terrorism and a lot of other illegal activities. So upon arrival of these two officials, that's Nadim and his partner, they were from the airport, they were flagged, and then they were taken into what the government has said is protective custody. Also referred to in this case as house arrest. So they've been kept for almost 2 weeks now in that holding by the National Security Advisor's Office. And then in some sort of turn of events, now they were while they were being held, the National Security Advisor's Office had gone ahead to process what a court injunction to hold them. And then while they were being held, a proper court case had been instituted against them. But in a twist of things, just only the day before yesterday evening, Nadim was said to have gone to observe the evening prayer over the course of the Ramadan. And he was allowed to leave the premises where he was being held and escorted by a security operative to a nearby mosque so that he can pray alongside other Muslims. And that was the last of him that was seen. And then from subsequent findings, it turned out to be that he actually came back, he came to the airport, flew out via a Middle East airline that would have been straight to Lebanon, and he was undetected.
Jonathan, as the story unfolds, Nigeria's security officers and advisors, the advisor's office says it is working with Interpol. How far are they, do you believe, or think they could be in finding Nadim?
It certainly gets complicated from here because Nadim has left Nigeria. He left Nigeria on a Kenyan passport, from what we have been made to believe. That's what the National Security Advisor's Office has said. And then also, he was being watched, by the way, by men of the Nigerian army, something that has raised some questions. Many experts have observed and said, to begin with, the National Security Advisor's Office hasn't got the pedigree, hasn't got the capacity to hold people who are being investigated. Why didn't they pass them over to the Economic and Financial Crimes Commission Office or pass them over to the police or to an organization that is seasoned in terms of things like this, and then continue to prosecute them administratively? So this has raised questions, but the NSA's office has said that they have, as of yesterday, they have launched a formal report with Interpol. But the thing there now becomes, where will Interpol start? where is Nadine to begin with? Should Nadine end up in the UK, where he is a citizen of, his passport being in Nigeria, where does that sit? It is going to definitely start a long and winding road of dealing with extradition, and you know how that definitely goes. In some cases, we're looking at years of this going on.
I'm closely looking at the picture that you've just painted, and I'd like to point out another actor in this story, Binance. How is Binance working with authorities regarding Anjarwalla?
So from the statement that Binance released as of yesterday, they said they are still, they say they know nothing about his escape, but they are still open and are willing to continue to work with the Nigerian government. Remember that the other executive of Binance, who also holds an American passport, is still held in the facility, and he is continuing to make himself available for interrogation. Now, the thing that has been a major bone of contention, however, with Binance is Binance has refused to release what the Nigerian government is asking for. The Nigerian government is asking them to release the names of Nigerians who are customers of the service, and Binance has held on to saying its confidentiality clause doesn't allow for that. Some people have argued that the reason why this is persisting is because of the very nature of how powerful the customers of Binance are. You know, I spoke with some financial experts, and believe it, some people that I've learned that are customers of Binance, they stretch to even people who are in the nation's formal finance sector, both in the formal banking sector and in the regulated or regulatory side of banking, of government. So it is quite a very convoluted situation that perhaps we are not about to see the end of it.
And lastly, Jonathan, the Binance executive you've just mentioned, his legal team says your country has detained him illegally. Why do you think this claim?
Well, I mean, it isn't surprising, and if you look at it from a legal perspective, that they could be correct from some of the analysis I've seen. Because remember that he was just invited to come so that they would answer questions that the Nigerian financial regulatory agencies had with respect to Binance's operation. And upon arrival, he was just taken into custody. Now, the Nigerian government has maintained that they haven't been arrested, that they are just being held in protective custody. But then they've gone ahead to now formally secure a court order to detain them. So I guess while they might have not been initially arrested legally, as it stands now, because there's a court order, it can be argued that they are now being held, or he is now being held legally based off that. But certainly the circumstances that have led to their being taken into custody have been, at best, one that raises a lot of questions.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. That was our correspondent in Nigeria, Jonathan James Lemko.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the African perspective.